Lord, we are trying to be a church that loves like Jesus loves. And we know that starts in our marriages and in our homes and in our friendships. Lord, bless us now as we try to learn better how to do that. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hello, darling. Nice to see you. This is the first line from Conway Twitty's song from 1970. How many people remember Conway Twitty? Oh, wow, we got quite a few here in the audience. He died in the 90s, and so some of you might not know who he is, but he was a famous country star back in the day. And one of his best songs was entitled Hello, Darling. And it was number one on the charts for about 4 weeks. It was named the number one country song in 1970. And what was unique about the song, he would often start his concerts with that song. What was unique about the song is the way it began. It didn't begin with some kind of instrumental build-up. It didn't begin with him hitting some high note or low note. It began by him talking and saying, "Hello, darling. Nice to see you." And that term of endearment, darling, or darlin', as Conway Twitty said it, is a very famous name that we often use to describe the one that we love. We like to call them darling. And sure enough, that term of endearment didn't start with Conway Twitty. It goes all the way back to Song of Solomon. As we see in chapter 1 of Song of Solomon, that the man speaking to the woman calls her my darling, or in Texan, my darling. If you're our guest this morning, we're studying through the book of Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, as it's sometimes referred to. And we're using this book to try to understand what it's like to have faithful love and intimacy within our marriages and relationships. My take on Song of Solomon is that it's a collection of love poems between a man and a woman as they're expressing their love for one another. We don't know who the man is, and the woman, we don't really know who she is. We know she's a Shulamite woman, but that's about all we know. But they are sharing their love for one another through this poetry. And one key aspect of this poetry that traces all throughout the whole book is the use of terms of endearment, the use of romantic nicknames, that the man likes to refer to the woman as my darling, and the woman likes to refer to the man as my love or my beloved. And so that got me thinking. It got me thinking, what are some other romantic nicknames that we use for one another? And so I put a post on my Facebook wall asking for everyone's favorite romantic nickname, and I got a good list together. Thank you all who responded to that request. Here's just a few of the ones that people wrote. Babe, sweetie, big love. This kind of puts you in a romantic mood when you read these. Pumpkin, hun, honey bunny, sugar britches, sugar muffin, honey bunch, baby girl, my love, angel, stud muffin. Transcendent love muffin of adoration. I think that had to be a joke. And then my favorite, Russell Wilkins. You know, what about you? What about your relationship? What is that favorite nickname that you love to call the one you love? Why do we create these names? Why do we do this? How does this all happen? And I think part of the reason why we create these names, part of the reason why these names are present in the Song of Songs, is because when we say these names, we're trying to communicate something. We're trying to say that we feel a closeness to you, that I feel a sense of intimacy with you, and I love you. I want to look at Song of Solomon chapter 1, starting at about verse 15, going into chapter 2. And I want to notice these terms of endearment. I mentioned that the man likes to refer to the woman as my darling. In Hebrew, that word is raya. Say that with me, raya. It can be translated my friend, my companion, my lover. It's used 9 times in the book. 9 times the man refers to the woman as my darling. So men, if you're looking for a new name to call your wife, call her Raya, my darling. The woman, on the other hand, likes to refer to the man as my love. In Hebrew, dodai. Say that with me, dodai. She uses that 26 times in the book. Over and over again, she calls her man my love. It can be translated my lover, my beloved, my love. So women, if you're looking for a new name for your man, dodai, my love. And I want you to notice how they share these names with one another, how they interact in their conversation as they communicate with one another. There's this beautiful interchange in chapters 1, verse 15 that go all the way to chapter 2, verse 3. It's a conversation. We get to hear a conversation between this man and this woman. And I want you to notice how they communicate. It starts off with the man saying, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves." He calls her that romantic pet name that he has for her, gives her a compliment. Scholars debate on what exactly is he trying to say when he says your eyes are doves. Does it mean that her eyes are a certain color or her eyes have a certain contour? We're not exactly sure, but it's a compliment to the woman about how her eyes look. And so how does the woman respond? She responds, "How handsome you are, my beloved, and oh, how charming, and our bed is verdant." So she responds to his use of that romantic name with her own romantic name, my love. And she responds to his compliment with her own compliment. She says, "Our bed is verdant. You have created this beautiful bed, this beautiful home for us to live in. You have done such a great job of providing security for us." Well, then the man responds to that by saying, "Well, yes, the beams of our house are cedars and our rafters are firs." Yes, he acknowledges what she says. And yes, we do have a wonderful home in which to be in. And this is a wonderful place for us to share. Then the woman responds to that by saying, "I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys." Some of you might recognize those phrases because we've taken some of those phrases, applied them to Jesus, and created songs out of them. Last week we sang, "Jesus, Rose of Sharon," and there's another song, "He's the Lily of the Valley." And that all comes back from Song of Solomon. But actually, when the woman says this about herself, she's actually saying, I'm just a common woman. She's being modest. She's saying, I'm just a plain woman. There's nothing special about me. I'm just a regular lily in the valley. I'm just another rose out there among a lot of different roses. There's nothing special about me. She's actually kind of putting herself down a little bit. And notice how the man responds to that. He says, "Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women." He hears her modesty and he says, "Well, actually, from my perspective, you're a lily among thorns. No one compares to you. You're my darling." And he uses that romantic name again to refer to her. Well, then how does the woman respond? "Well, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste." So she responds to his compliment with her own compliment. "Well, you're like an apple tree," he says. You're one of the best trees in the forest," she says. And I love to sit under you. I love your fruit. It's sweet to taste." And she uses her own romantic name. "You are my beloved." Okay, what's going on in this conversation? How do we process what's happening here? I want you to notice a couple things. I want you to notice how this is such a beautiful interchange of symmetry. The man calls her my darling. She responds, my love. The man offers a compliment. She responds with her own compliment. The man offers words of affirmation. You're a lily among thorns. The woman responds with her own words of affirmation. You're like an apple tree. There's this beautiful symmetry between the two. It's almost like this wonderful piece of harmony. As one person says one thing, the other one matches it. The one person says another beautiful thing, the other one matches it, and on down the road. And then secondly, I want you to notice that in this conversation, there is a whole lot of kindness. As one person says one thing that is kind, the other person matches it. As another person says another thing that is kind, the other person matches it. There's this beautiful spirit of kindness between the two. Their communication is flowing with kindness, respect, and admiration. And because that's how their communication is going, they are being drawn in together in a very intimate way. And in many ways, that's where intimacy comes about. It happens when you have two people who admire one another, who respect one another, and their communication is full of kindness. I mentioned, I think 2 weeks ago, about some research done by John Gottman. John Gottman is the marriage whisperer, some people call him. He's the guy who can analyze a married couple, listen to how they communicate for about 15 minutes, and then he can give a guess on whether they're going to stay together or not, and he can guess with 90% success rate on whether they're actually going to stay together or not. He's just studied marriages a whole lot. And one thing, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, one thing he's noticed about the marriages that stay together is that those marriages have developed a spirit of intimacy and trust. And what he's noticed is that what has created that spirit of intimacy and trust is that within the husband and wife, there is kindness. Kindness in how they communicate. He gives this example. He says, what happens in a married relationship is that you'll have one person, the husband or the wife, who will give a what he calls a bid. And a bid is where you make some kind of request to your spouse, and you're hoping that your spouse is going to respond in a kind way. For example, he says, imagine the wife is a bird enthusiast, and it's early morning, you wake up, you're getting your early morning coffee, and the husband sees outside this beautiful bluebird. And so the husband says, wow, look at that bluebird. Now, when the husband says that, he's saying that for two reasons. Number one, he's saying it because, yeah, it's a beautiful bluebird. But number two, he's saying it because he knows his wife is a bird enthusiast, and he's hoping that in saying this, his wife is going to be drawn in, will appreciate what he has said, and that will bring them close together. That's what he calls a bid. Now, the wife can do a number of different things. She can respond in anger. Don't talk to me. I haven't had my early morning coffee yet. Somebody said amen, and I'm not saying who. She can respond in indifference. Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Or she can respond in kindness. Oh, wow, yeah, that is a beautiful bluebird. Thanks for pointing that out. And what Gottman says is that when a couple respond in that way, when the wife or the husband responds to that bid in kindness, it brings them together. Now, we offer bids all the time. Husband comes home from work. Guess what, honey? Happened to me at work. That's a bid. How's the wife going to respond? Leave me alone. I've had a bad day. Is she going to say, oh, yeah, cool? Or is she going to say, yeah, I'd love to hear it. Tell me about it. Wife calls the husband at work. Hey, sorry to bother you at work. Just want to tell you about what the kids did. That's a bid. How's the husband going to respond? I've told you once, told you 1,000 times. Don't bother me at work. I'm too busy. Or, oh, yeah, cool. What happened? Or, hey, yeah, good to hear from you. Tell me what the kids have been doing. We have bids like that all the time where, as a husband or a wife, we're offering a bid to the other, hoping that they're going to respond in kindness. And what Gottman's research says is that couples that stay together, over 50% of the time, the husband and the wife responds to the bids with kindness. And what's fascinating about that research is that is precisely what's going on in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15 to chapter 2, verse 3. The husband offers a bid. How beautiful you are, my darling. And the question is, okay, how's the woman going to respond to this bid? Is she going to say, leave me alone, you blockhead? Is she going to say, oh, yeah, thank you? Or is she going to respond in kindness? And that's exactly what she does. She says, well, how handsome you are, my love. And back and forth, one matches the other, and they match one another with kindness. And we have this beautiful display of here is what communication should look like between a husband and a wife. Communication that is a harmony, communication that is a symphony, where they're expressing kindness to one another, and as one says one thing, the other matches it with kindness and love. And as they do that, they are drawn closer together in intimacy. He says, Steve, how do we do that? How do we work to have that kind of communication? And I think the answer to that question is admiration. Someone has said that marriage is a mutual admiration society, and I think that's true. That marriage, if you want to have a successful marriage, it starts by learning and training your mind to see the good in your spouse. Training your mind to admire your spouse. Whenever there's a marriage that's in trouble, that's not what's happening. You hear about, well, all the negative in the spouse. Well, my husband's doing this. My husband's done that. My wife's doing this. My wife's done that. You hear about all the negatives. And if you want to reverse that train, if you're going down the wrong track in your marriage, you want to reverse that train, here's how you do it. You start seeing the positive in your spouse. You train your eyes to where you're seeing the good in your spouse. And there is some good in your spouse, okay? Your spouse was made in the image of God. Your spouse was redeemed by Jesus. There is something good about your spouse. Even when your spouse has done something terrible, there is still something good in your spouse. And training your mind, training your heart to where you want to see the good creates a spirit within you of admiration. And when you have admiration for your spouse, it reveals itself in kindness in your communication. And that's exactly what was going on between the man and the woman. I mentioned earlier, the woman says, I'm a rose of Sharon, I'm a lily of the valleys. She's basically being very modest and saying, I'm nothing special, I'm nothing that's really valuable in this world. And the man responds and says, yes, you are valuable. You're like a lily among the thorns. There's nothing that compares to you. None of the other women compare to you. You are special, my darling. How could he do that? Because he had trained his mind and he had trained his heart to admire his spouse, to see the good in her. And because he sees the good in her, his words to her reflect kindness. And they reflect love. And intimacy is the result of that. That intimacy begins by us learning to admire one another. Learning to admire your wife, learning to admire your husband, learning to see the good that they have, and letting that come out in kindness. That's how we come together. You know, if you don't have intimacy in your marriage right now, if you don't feel close, maybe the first step is figuring out a way to tell your spouse how much you appreciate them. I mean, when was the last time that you complimented your spouse? I mean, really complimented. Not just said, hey, you look nice today, but you said, you're like an apple tree in the forest and I love to sit under your shade and your fruit tastes sweet. I mean, that's a compliment, folks. And when was the last time that you truly complimented your spouse? John Ortberg, in his book Soul Keeper, he talks about that here in America, we're just not a very grateful people. We have so many blessings in our life. We receive good things all the time. And And because of that, we're just not very thankful. He says, let me give you a test case. He said, for example, I want you to get a piece of paper and make a little list of 5 things, 10 things that you are thankful for in your spouse. And he said, then I want you to take your spouse out to dinner, have a nice meal, and then over that meal, I want you to read that list to your spouse. He said, now for most of us, that's a little bit embarrassing, and we would be a little bit antsy about doing that. If we're dating, maybe we'll do that, but once we're married a few years, we're a little antsy about doing that. And he said, why? Your spouse is your best friend, the one that you love. Why should you be embarrassed to tell them all the reasons why you're thankful for them? I think Ortberg has a point. And that too often, the reason why we don't have intimacy is that our communication is lacking. And that we haven't learned to speak kindly to one another. And we haven't learned to admire one another. And we haven't learned to be grateful one another. What's so special about Song of Solomon chapter 1 and 2 is that you have two people, a man and woman, who you can tell they are grateful for one another. They are thankful. That husband, he is thankful for her. How beautiful you are, my darling. Like a lily among thorns. And that woman, she is grateful for him. And that's how the intimacy train starts going on the right track, is we start learning to speak kindly to one another, seeing the good in one another, admiring one another, complimenting one another, celebrating how we appreciate one another. And as we speak that to one another, intimacy develops. You say, Steve, I just can't do that. I'm just not a kind person. I whenever I try to communicate, it just doesn't come out. And a lot of times anger gets the best of me, and it's just hard for me to say I love you. And I just can't do those kinds of things. Well, I've got good news for you this morning, if that's you. Number one, kindness is not a characteristic trait. It's a character muscle. Let me tell you the difference. A trait's just something that you were born with. A muscle is something that you can work at. And your kindness muscle might be a little weak, might need to be worked out a little bit, but you can work it out. And with a little of attention and by the power of the Spirit, you can develop a spirit of kindness towards your spouse. Even if your spouse has hurt you in the past, you can develop a spirit of kindness towards your spouse to where you see the good in them. You can do that by the power of the Spirit. And the reason why you can is because kindness is tied to love. And I mentioned at the very beginning of this year that love fundamentally is a choice, church. Remember we talked about that from 1 Corinthians 13. Love's a verb, it's not a noun. It's a choice that we make. And it's the same way with kindness. Kindness is a choice. It's a choice that I'm going to respond to that bid with a spirit of kindness. It's a choice that I'm going to see the good in my spouse. It's a choice that I'm going to train my heart to admire my spouse. It's a choice that I'm going to compliment my spouse. I'm going to be thankful for my spouse. It's a choice. And the more you make that choice over and over and over again, that kindness muscle gets strong. And as that kindness muscle gets strong, and as you display kindness in your communication, intimacy develops in your marriage. But I have a second reason why I have good news. If you feel like I just can't do it, my spouse and I, we just don't have any intimacy, and I can't be kind to them, and they never call me any romantic names, and they never give me any compliments, and I just can't do this, I've still got good news for you. Because I mentioned at the very beginning of this series that the Song of Solomon on the surface is about a man and a woman expressing their love to one another, but underneath the surface, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor about how God feels about his people. And fundamentally, that's what marriage is. Marriage is a metaphor. It's a metaphor of how Christ loves the church. And as we see this man and woman exchange this beautiful conversation where one expresses kindness to the other, and where one compliments the other, and where one calls the other romantic names, that is a metaphor for how God speaks about us. And when God looks at his people, he admires us. God admires you. Can you believe that? Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you." When God looks at the church, he says, "How beautiful you are, my darling." He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And not only does he admire us, but he speaks compliments to us. He says, "You are a chosen people, and you are a holy nation, and you are a royal priesthood. You belong to me." What is God doing? He's complimenting us. He is speaking kindly to us. And if God, in all of his goodness and in all of his love, could look at you and could look at me and could look at all of us together and speak words of admiration and speak words of kindness and compliment us and be thankful for us, can't we find the motivation to do the same for our spouse? When we understand how God feels about us, it gives us the power and the ability to speak the same words of admiration and kindness to maybe our spouse who hasn't been always kind to us. It's by the power of God's love that we find the ability to offer sacrificial love to our loved one, to our darling. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that too often times our communication with our spouse is not good. Too often our spouse has offered us a bid and we have responded to that bid with indifference or anger. Too often we have gotten so self-focused that we haven't expressed a compliment, a deep-seated, well-thought-out compliment in days. And too often, Lord, we admit that we have taken our spouse or our loved one or our significant other, our boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever it may be, we have taken them for granted. And we haven't reminded them of how grateful we are for them. And so, Lord, help us to repent of all of that this morning. And help us to develop that strong kindness muscle that allows us to speak words of compliments and gratitude and loving nicknames to our spouse so that we might be drawn closer to them and that we can be drawn closer to you. And we thank you, Lord, for taking delight in us when we maybe haven't been very delightful, and for rejoicing over us when we maybe haven't given you a lot to rejoice about, and for loving us when we haven't been very lovable. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And I want to challenge us again. If your marriage isn't where it needs to be, there are three things to do. Number one, to pray. I hope you're praying every day like I am for your marriage and for the marriages of our church. I want you to be doing that this month, going into June. And we're going to have our elders surround us in the invitation, and I encourage you to walk to them and just say, "Pray for our marriage. Pray for me that I can be kind, that I can speak kindly to my spouse." I encourage you to do that. Number two, to talk. Sometimes it's hard for us to express kindness and affirmation and admiration because there is something deep-seated that is making us angry and that's something that we can't let go of. And sometimes we just need to talk with someone about that. And again, we have a counselor here this morning. Her name's Alicia from Christian Works. During the invitation, she's going to walk to the office. If you want to talk to a counselor, you can do that this morning. This is the most accessible a Christian marriage counselor is going to be to you. And for free, you can go and have a session with her during the Bible class hour. I encourage you to do that. If there's something on your heart that you need to talk about, I encourage you to just go to the office during the invitation and she will help you. And then repentance. It could be, as I mentioned in the prayer, that you need to repent of not being kind, of not being thankful, of not having that spirit of admiration. I encourage you to do that this morning. Walk over to one of our elders. Let them pray over you. Or if you want to be baptized this morning, you can come to the front. We'd love to welcome you to God's family. If we can help you this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.